Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Jill Kaufman. Little things mean a lot, even in crime reduction. According to the 1982 broken windows theory that spawned decades of police planning, it is a relatively simple theory that if a window in a building is broken and left unrepaired, all the rest of the windows will soon be broken. George Kelling and the late James Q. Wilson wrote this and went on to say that those broken windows could lead to urban decay, disorderly behaviors, and violent crime. So now, according to the Boston Area Research Initiative, at least in this city, by looking at an enormous amount of data, researchers say a better predictor of violent crime is a private matter, private disorders, things like domestic abuse and landlord-tenant disputes. These types of crimes spill over into the neighborhoods they inhabit, according to researchers, and sometimes, of course, with deadly consequences. Joining us now to talk more about this is Dan O'Brien. He's authored a study called Public and Private Spheres of Neighborhood Disorder. He's also a professor of public policy and criminology at Northeastern University. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
We have another Dan. Daniel Mulhern is here. He's a senior advisor to Boston Mayor Marty Walsh in the Public Safety Initiative. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, good afternoon.
I'll try to keep you folks straight with your Daniels. Dan O'Brien, let's begin with the data you collected by using 911 calls and 311 calls, which are City Hall initiatives, I believe. That's been between the years 2011 and 2012. And how much data did you collect? And in layman's terms, how did you come to say that the private disorder versus the public is a metaphor and is at the root of crime?
So in terms of actual data, it was about 500,000 911 calls and about 300,000 311 calls, so almost a million total calls. And a lot of boiling down of that information into the kinds of things that would tell you what was going on.
Reading transcripts or listening to audio or?
No, just pure straight digital data. So taking case types, right? So there's a big difference between a call for, say, a pothole and a call for a domestic dispute, as you mentioned, or bed bugs or graffiti. You know, these things that indicate incivilities or disturbances within the neighborhood or disorder in broken windows terms.
Okay, so if you would follow then the domestic dispute, when you found that there was X number of calls in some city neighborhood, what's the correlation to increased crime outside of that private moment, that private awful moment?
So what we were able to do was we basically measured for all the neighborhoods in the city in 2011 a number of different dimensions of physical and social disorder and crime, and then use that to model what 2012 would look like. Right? Could you use that information to know how 2012 looks? And it turned out that when you think of a neighborhood as kind of an ecosystem, right, what's the thing that's driving how it's going to change into the next year? And the thing that was most prominent was these private conflicts in terms of prediction, right? So we don't know exactly the causal process by which, you know, you get from the one to the next, but private conflict led to more public violence, so fights, knives, things of that nature, more public social disorder, so drunkenness, loitering, things of that nature, more gun violence, so people being called in for having a gun, shootings, people being shot, and also more deterioration to houses, interestingly enough, in the following year. And so basically we see the one leading to the other, and what we think is exactly what you said at the top, that these private disputes are spilling out, right? Mm-hmm. They're falling outwards, but they're also escalating, mm-hmm. right? A dispute between people who share space might get so violent that someone buys a gun and so on and so forth.
Right. Dan Mulhern from the City of Boston, how is the city dealing with these private disorders right now? And do you use this data? Are you using this kind of information when it comes to public safety?
So the City of Boston and the Boston Police Department and frankly, the mayor and many in City Hall are using data to make decisions around where to deploy resources. And that's across all sectors in City Hall. Our police department have been looking at many of the data points that Dan refers to for years and years to make decisions around times of deployment, specialized units in certain areas. And it's hard to argue with information or data that has been retrieved from over close to 1 million phone calls. I think that there is an inherent credibility in that, and in Dan's observations or unpacking that information. But we have been, and certainly with this mayor and many in the building, been thinking about ways of using data in a much more aggressive and efficient way to stop the violence in our city.
So does this then, Daniel Mulhern, does this data that is not the opposite of broken windows, does it refute what policing has been about since 1982 when the broken windows theory came about?
I don't think so. In fact, I think it builds on it. And what it tells us is that that crime and violence is complicated. It tells us that when you peel away at what leads someone to pull the trigger and hurt or harm one of their neighbors, that it isn't always a perfect formula that'll tell us why that happened. And I think that the evolution of police work and in fact the events of the past year show us that clearly, we cannot resolve issues in our neighborhoods only by enforcement and arrest.
What events of the past year? What do you mean?
Some of the unrest in some of our other cities and police response to certain incidents that potentially could be considered a response consistent with a broken window theory.
Ferguson, for instance.
Or New York, possibly.
Staten Island, Eric Garner.
And our police commissioner is probably the most aggressive in the country around tactics around de-escalation and the sound, common sense use of police discretion. And it's no coincidence that our mayor brought him in as commissioner for those reasons.
Let's talk for a minute together, Dan and Dan, about the broken windows theory, just to make sure that listeners know what it's about. James Q. Wilson and George Killing wrote this Atlantic Monthly article in 1982. They are considered conservative. Then they were considered conservative researchers or members of think tanks then. Social psychologists, Killing was a probation officer, I believe. And they came up with this idea, as we spoke about a few minutes ago, that if a window is broken, it leads to the rest of the windows broken. It leads to overall disorder. We called Killing earlier today and wanted to get his sense of, you know, Dan, how he hears your data, your look at the data now. We asked him to acknowledge, you know, what was going on. He acknowledges support has shifted for his theory through the years to right now.
I think at the present time, the pendulum has swung to the side that it does have an impact on crime. The work of Anthony Braga in Lowell, Massachusetts, and Jersey City, New Jersey, both of which are formal experiments, both of which demonstrated that when police did something about disorderly behavior and conditions, it turns out that had an impact on crime.
So Dan O'Brien from Northeastern, Killing definitely called your work complimentary, and you've said that, as I understand, that that it's not an either-or solution, that the broken windows policing protocol, as well as other types of interventions, because it's not the only thing that's going on to dispute public disorder, everything changes, right? Killing was in the New York Times and elsewhere, though, defending what he has done. Yeah. Why is he defending it?
Well, I think... Well, there's a couple of things there. And I think probably the most important to me is there's a difference between an effect and whether it's the most important effect, right? Whether it's the pathway that's the most consistent one towards violent crime, right? So where he's saying there is an effect of disorder on violent crime, citing Anthony Braga's work and others, in those experimental situations where you isolate everything else, yes, you may see a little bit of an influence. But when you look at the neighborhood holistically, as these data enable you to do, looking at a number of different interplaying factors, we see that the greater pathway is really through these private relationships. And what I think is critical there is it changes the focus on what we think crime is, right? The broken windows theory casts as being this predatory, opportunistic thing that's responding to these cues. Oh, I can get away with this here, so I'll do it here. Whereas this model, I think, is more consistent, especially with kind of community policing approaches that Dan here is talking about, where violence is emerging from troubles in the community, right? It's escalation. It's not as much a predatory thing as something that happens as a result of conflict between friends, family, neighbors, acquaintances.
Right. So again, back to it's not an either or, but George Kelling is actually the broken windows theory is being pointed to as a place that where stop and frisk began, that it allowed police to interact with African Americans and with others who were more in urban areas in a way that has led us up to the point we're at with policing and black communities in America. Dan Mulhern, if you could say something about that from the city of Boston. And is that possible to happen here? I mean, there's not been a great history of relations between between cultures here and police.
We spend it, and our mayor spends, and I'll give you a perfect example. Yesterday in Boston Police Headquarters, our mayor and our commissioner brought together cross-discipline community members, clergy, to discuss exactly what we're here to talk about today, the impact of violence on our community. And so I think that Boston for many years has been looking at the potential of broken windows as a solid theory to keep neighborhoods safe, and I can't stress that it's just a fluid law enforcement and how we respond to community is extremely fluid. I do want to speak to the either or. I'll give you an example of so the broken windows create stressors in our community. Maybe a bus isn't coming on time. Maybe you go to the bus stop. There's graffiti at the bench. You can't sit down, there's glass and your child gets cut in the area or liquor bottles. It's not exclusive of what Dan is referring to, that those stressors also contribute to the stressors that are put on those private and personal conflicts that may percolate. So I really think that Mr. Kelling's theory in many ways is consistent with some of the information that Dan is putting forward, that again, it's a complex problem and it requires complex perspective.
Dan, O'Brien, excuse me, just to end this segment, how do you see using this data in the future? I mean, you say that this was an interesting experiment. This was an experiment, right? And here you have raised all sorts of, you and other researchers in other cities have raised issues about policing as it was based on an earlier model, but not uniquely. So what happens from here with your information? Where do you go?
Yeah, so I think there's two approaches, right? One is in terms of how we anticipate crime, and the other one is in terms of how we respond to and work towards crime prevention. I think in the first case, right, this provides us with some indicators, right, of thinking about, well, what does the world look like right now and where do we expect there to be more violent crime in the coming months, 6, 10, 12, and using private disputes as an indicator of that, something that's somewhat predictive in a way. And the other part is responding. I think, you know, again, commend the city of Boston for its community-based approach and really combining police work with de-escalation, community, social workers,
knowledge.
And others.
Right. Yeah. Dan O'Brien, thank you so much. Assistant Professor of Public Policy and Urban Affairs Criminology at Northeastern. Daniel Mulhern is a Senior Advisor to Boston Mayor Marty Walsh's Public Safety Initiative. You've both been great. I really appreciate the time you took.
Thanks so much for
having
me.
Thank you. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Jill Kaufman. Please join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.